2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Good evening, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. I'm going to set my timer so we don't go over time. There you go. All right. All right, from verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up, of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Our title for this evening is from verse number 5, which is earnest. That's it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We pray that you will now be in our midst and break our hearts of stones, soften it, help it to receive your word, and with gladness, with excitement, and giving wisdom, Father, as I teach and preach your word. We pray for all those that are listening, and we even pray for our pastor right now and the brothers. We ask all these things. Be with us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so for Christians, I will never get used to this. Sorry. For Christians, there's good news, right? Verse number 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's talking about our bodies, right? There's good news, we get a new body. We know this. I think pastors preached on this 10 months ago. I checked in YouTube. So we get a new body. The Lord has prepared for us a new body, a perfect one, an eternal one. It's not just, you know, not just any type of body. It's perfect. To be honest, I was saved when I was, I think, nine years old. And every time I hear a preacher talk about, we get a new body, I don't take notice because I was young. Now, things are different. You know, injuries here, break something here, blah, 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 blah. And I get so excited for this new body. Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 21. We'll just go over this how good this body is that the Bible is talking about. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 21. Who shall change our vile body, that's our body now, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, that's Jesus, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So it is fashioned unto his glorious body. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, verse number 4 says, Revelation 21, 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So it's painless, no more. How exciting is that? The church in Corinth, during this time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it is there. It was never moved. So the church of Corinth is in Greece, right? And the Greeks, so that church, that small church in Corinth was surrounded by people who did not believe in bodily resurrection. The Greeks, to them, afterlife is just a soul. So the soul is trapped in the body and it's released for the afterlife. But the Apostle Paul is saying that it's not completely true, because we are promised an eternal and a perfect body fashioned like that of Jesus' body. It's according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. This is, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible. It's an incorruptible body, and it's and this mortal must put on immortality. So there are no points. I mean, there is a point, but there are no points in tonight's preaching. But if there be any, then we have to rejoice because we have the Lord has prepared for us a new body, a perfect one, just like that of Jesus. Now, verse number two, back to our passage. Verse number two, for verse 2, 3, and 4. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, although that future truth, this perfect body that the Bible is talking about, is something that only Christians know and are able to comprehend, to understand, because a saved person, unsaved person will never understand this. Now, this is true for Christians. The part in that verse that says, for in this we groan, or in verse 4, verse number 2 and verse number 4 are almost kind of the same. Verse number 4 says, for that we are in this tabernacle, do groan, being burdened. This burdening part, this is something of universal truth. Everybody feels pain. Everybody feels sorrow. You know, everybody is burdened, as the Apostle Paul says. Now, that is true for everybody. And so is, and another universal truth comes into mind, which is, there is a longing in every human being for a spiritual experience. God said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Let's start with verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So that's us. Every human being has the capability to look for God. Has that longing for something spiritual, not just material. That's why there's a lot of religions in the world. That's why there's a lot of cults in the world. Because they have a longing. Now, moreover, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That word world in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. That word comes from the Greek word olam. Olam. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right. To us, it's food with rice, olam. But that word means, that word has been repeatedly used by the Bible to refer to eternity. So, if you replace it, it says, also he has set eternity in their heart. Now, so, in the Old Testament, it's been used multiple times, a lot of times. Every time it's used, it refers to eternity. So we can take from what we can take from that is every human being in the world knows, has a knowledge deep in their hearts, planted by God, that eternity is real. There are people who will say that there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell. And the Bible in Romans chapter 1, from that chapter that we read, the Bible refers to them as people who profess themselves as wise, they became fools. And the fool that saith in his heart, there is no God. Even to these people who don't believe in God, there is a longing for something spiritual. You know, and they often realize this in experiences like the birth of a child or the death of a dearly beloved, you know, where they come from, there is no God, to, if there is a God, then he is cruel, to, God, why are you doing this? You know? So, because in our hearts, according to the Bible, every person has that capability. Now, the thing is, the thing that most of the people in the world miss is, it's not in religions, it's not in cults, it's not in those experiences that longing is satisfied. It's only in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that experience is what we experience in our salvation and what we are experiencing now. That is why Christians, in application, we have to do our part. We have to share the gospel. Why? Because they already have that longing. It's just misguided. Our job is to point them into the right direction. That is the love of God. That is Jesus Christ. So verse one is, God has prepared for us a perfect body. Number two, verse 2, 3, and 4 says that we have a job to show them that they also can have that perfect body if they get saved. Now verse number 5, going back to our passage, verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us from the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We've heard Pastor Shane talk about this a lot of times. Earnest. The word earnest means a promise or a guarantee. You know, I can't remember where or when, but I heard this preacher once said, love is action. Right? I don't know if you've heard that. And God's love is perfect. Why? Because every time he tells us that he loves us, he backs it up with action. And God loves us so much that he didn't just save us from the penalty of our sin. He didn't only prepare for us a mansion in heaven and a perfect body. He also gave us the Holy Spirit, none other than the Holy Spirit. And that, as an earnest, as a down payment, as a guarantee, as a promise. Now, what for? To make sure that we understand these things. To make sure that we know, because without the Holy Spirit, we will never understand this, the Bible. We can read it, we can understand it literally, but the deep messages of God in there, we will never understand. Now, for reference, look at the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. We won't read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8 now, but we'll just look at some verses. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is our proof and is our guarantee. Our earnest, when he works in our lives, you know, today, what he actually does is to prepare us for what lies ahead. He refines us, he transforms us, and he perfects us on a practical basis, on a daily basis, so that our soul and our spirit will be matched with our perfect body in the future. That's what he prepares us for. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, am I on the right one? Yeah. Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse number 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Reminds us that we are children of God. Verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit, to help us, to transform us, to make us, to make our soul fit that perfect body that is prepared for us. So as we live day by day, let us take heed to the working of the Holy Ghost as He is preparing us. The verse says in our passage, He that hath wrought us, so that word wrought is preparing us, that prepared us. So every time the Holy Spirit then convicts us, we have to listen and we have to do something about it. Every time the Holy Spirit reminds us of a scripture in the Bible, we have to be willing to be instructed. Every time the Holy Spirit restrains us from doing selfish or sinful behaviors, we have to stop and pray. We have to listen. And then when he moves us to do godly actions, godly behaviors like love, forgiveness, sacrifice, service, reconciliation, all these things, we have to listen. We have to do it. Because this is His job. This is Him moving in us. Because this is the Holy Spirit in the process of preparing us, refining us, renovating us. He is directing the transformation in us. Now, verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. This, therefore, it was explained earlier. This is just part two of what was preached earlier, actually. That word, therefore, what did Pastor say? You have to look at the reason, look for the reason why it, what it's there for. Yeah, so since we have been given the earnest of the Spirit, therefore, let us take things into proper perspective. This world, my brothers and sisters, is not our home. We are just passing through. We're just visitors. So it will be very wise to invest most of our resources, and that is our time, our money, and our attention on things that are eternal rather than things that are temporary. Temporary things are temporary, like, you know, possessions, material stuff, as was preached this morning, or problems, even problems. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, just before the verse that we, just three verses before chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then the Apostle Paul talks about our perfect body, which was prepared for us. It's beautiful, isn't it? As was preached this morning, take no thought of the material, the stuff. Rather, let's put God first. Realizing that at the end of it all, at the end of this life, it's all Jesus anyway. So put all your resources, you know, when we go out of the church, when you start our work, our jobs tomorrow, whatever it is that you do, think on these things. Think on how do I do this for God? How do I do my job for God instead of, you know, that paycheck, instead of the prestige, instead of the fame, instead of the promotion, instead of all those things? How can God be glorified in what I do in a daily basis. And in conclusion, of course, verse number 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you very much for your word, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have done for our lives. We don't deserve any of it. We deserve punishment, but it's all because of your love, Father, that we're able to stand every day and to face our days. We pray, Father, then that you will be with us, and may we do all things for your glory, Father. If there are sins in our lives that we need to let go, help us. And Father, please just be glorified in our lives, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've prepared for us, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we'll continue to listen and take heed and act on what the Holy Spirit is moving us to do. We ask all these things, knowing that you are listening, because everything is being prayed for in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.